Let's welcome Rebecca Stevenson now. Rebecca is Senior Journalist at Business Desk. Good morning. Thanks for your time, Rebecca.
Morena, Catherine. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Now, this is an interesting story. Please talk us through the New Zealand links to an alleged $100 million fraud in China.
Yeah, so we had a really interesting notice pop up on the New Zealand Stock Exchange recently, which said that a New Zealand director, Michael Chai, had been arrested in the Philippines. Now, it's since been revealed that Michael Chai, or Khor Sing Chai, had been arrested in the Philippines in January by authorities who were acting on an Interpol red notice, who claimed he was wanting in China for the crime of fraudulent fundraising. Now, since then, Business Desk has seen a trove of documents about Chai, and they uncovered that he has used his New Zealand links and links to this New Zealand listed company, Blackwell Global, to raise about $100 million New Zealand dollars from Chinese investors by promising them 36% annual returns from a foreign exchange business. Now, what we've learned is that Chinese authorities have been looking for Blackwell Global founder Michael Chai since about 2020, and they allege that he pocketed 112 million yuan, or about 26 million New Zealand dollars, of more than 410 million yuan raised from Chinese investors. Now, Michael Chai presented himself as the representative of New Zealand Blackwell Global Investment, these documents that Business Desk has seen showed. Now, Chai's overall sort of parent company, Blackwell Global Group, is incorporated in the Cayman Islands, and it is a major shareholder of this New Zealand Stock Exchange listed company called Blackwell Global Holdings. And Chai also personally owns more than 8% of the New Zealand company. Now, the New Zealand directors of Blackwell Global, the New Zealand listed company, have been at pains to distance themselves from their former director now, because he has resigned subsequent to this NZX notice. And they have said that the matters that Chai was arrested on are unrelated to the New Zealand business. They say they're seeking legal advice. And they also say that they have no knowledge of any of these alleged fundraising activities in China undertaken by Chai, and that they never approved him to do anything like that. Unfortunately for the New Zealand business, you know, those New Zealand ties are quite prominent in the official documents surrounding Chai's arrest. He called himself the Shanghai representative of New Zealand Blackwell Global Investment. And along with another man, authorities in Shanghai allege that between January 2015 and August 2018, the two of them raised money from investors for a foreign exchange platform, which was meant to be operated by this New Zealand named firm. Chinese authorities say that the two men colluded together using online platforms and offline stores, along with that interest rate, to bait investors into handing over millions, which was then sent to an account which had been designated by Chai. Chinese authorities say that Chai then allegedly transferred that money, and instead of operating this foreign exchange business, took possession of the money before fleeing China in August 2018. So the Philippines authorities picked up Chai in January. And of course, then we got this New Zealand Stock Exchange note, I think it was last week, saying that they had become aware that he'd been arrested. Currently, I understand Chai is still locked up in the Philippines, while I guess China tries to get him out of that country.
All right, so that's quite a story. And the implications, therefore, at home, you've already kind of explained. There's reputational management, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, the New Zealand company obviously say they know absolutely nothing about it, and they say that the board did nothing to approve Chai doing this. It's really not clear, you know, when the New Zealand company last spoke to Chai. I understand that he had an alternate who served on the board and attended virtually, I assume, the meetings of the company, because Chinese authorities allege that Chai has sort of been traveling around Southeast Asia, hiding from them over the past few years. Now, the New Zealand listed company is changing its name. It doesn't want to be associated with Blackwell Global anymore. Unsurprisingly, it's going to rename itself on May 1, RTO. Now, I should also say that the New Zealand listed company hasn't really been functioning as a company for a few years. It has effectively been a shell company looking for a reverse takeover and a deal to do. However, one thing that I think complicates matters a little bit for the New Zealand company is at the same time that Chinese authorities say that Michael Chai was telling Chinese investors he was going to set up this Forex platform, Blackwell in New Zealand was also saying that it was going to look at doing such a business as well. It said in 2017 it was going to file an application for a trading license from the New Zealand regulator, the Financial Markets Authority, and try to become a exchange platform here. Now, it did say in December 18 it was going to abandon those attempts. So I guess we'll find out more, perhaps how, if at all, you know, Michael Chai had used those notices, I guess, and the company's attempts to do business in New Zealand, perhaps to convince Chinese investors to part with their money.
There's a lot of interesting things here, including the use of a reputation of a company in New Zealand. It's a bit like the New Zealand passport, right? It's perceived as being a very low corruption area. There's a high trust attached to its name. How much do we know about whether, you know, he came to New Zealand or had strong connections here, or is this more a case of using the reputation of a New Zealand-based company?
They Blackwell Global, if you have a look, their websites are still up online last time I checked, and they do talk about the fact that they operate in these tightly regulated, highly regulated environments, including the United Kingdom. Now, in the United Kingdom, Blackwell UK actually had a license there, a brokerage license. I did contact the Financial Conduct Authority there in the UK, and they said they're not authorized to talk about it. But, you know, they did put that front and foremost, you know, in their sort of pitch as a business that, you know, Blackwell Global operates in all these different markets around the world, including in the highly regulated markets of New Zealand and the UK. You know, they never actually did get their platform off the ground in New Zealand. And that's quite clear, you know, from what they told us through their listing notices. However, it does appear, you know, that Chai was using that. The name New Zealand, the word New Zealand is front and center in those official documents about his arrest. So he was definitely leading with that foot.
Right.
Interestingly as well, we've seen the Premier League tied up in this too. You know, Blackwell signed a deal with a Premier League football club as well at around the same time in 2017. And that again, I think as well, would have just served to burnish, you know, the reputation of the business and Chai as he was allegedly raising this money.
So where is the New Zealand business now, though? As you say, it's rebranding, understandably, but what is the scale of it as a company and what it does?
Yeah, it hasn't been doing much for a number of years. It was originally a finance company, and then, you know, that finance company went into receivership. And then Blackwell, the listing, has kind of gone on without that part of the business. It did want to set up this platform. And then I think it was in about 2020, it kind of said, look, we can't raise any more equity. We can't raise any more debt. We're just going to wind everything down, have no staff, and see if we can find a deal that we can do, a reverse takeover deal, and then bring that listing back to life effectively. So I think in the 2023 financial year, it reported about $9,000 in income, really not much happening, except for the remaining directors were being paid to look around for this reverse takeover. Now, its chair, Sean Joyce, I'm sure would like me to point out that it has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on with Michael Chai. It's renaming itself RTO, basically to put its foot forward that it is a reverse takeover business. Now, of course, Blackwell Global Group does still own the majority of the company, and Chai is still a significant shareholder as well. So in an attempt to sort of dilute that Blackwell Global Group is forgiving $200,000 worth of bonds that the New Zealand company owes to it, and that will dilute their interest in the firm. But very much a let's watch this space, I think, for how this is going to play out now.
Indeed. You mentioned Sean Joyce. He's involved in another NZX firm that's been in the news. How so, Rebecca?
Yeah, now this is a really interesting one because we always sort of talk about the criticism around the New Zealand Stock Exchange and there's nothing happening and there's no new listings. Well, here was some new fresh blood on the NZX. Sean Joyce's company, Being AI, executed a reverse takeover of a business, Ascension Capital, and it made its debut on the New Zealand Stock Exchange on April 2. Now, it's been a bit of a rugged ride. The NZX had some issues on its first day of trading and they couldn't make any trades. And since then, it's seen its share price spike. And as a result, the NZX regulator had made a share price inquiry about it on April 4. And then on April 5, Being AI has become the first ever company to receive a trade with caution notice from that market watchdog. So the trade with caution notice basically is saying to investors, hey, have a look at this. You know, there's a share spike. A share price spike happening here, and we don't necessarily understand the fundamentals. You should have a look at what you're doing if you're going to be trading these. So it's looked at bringing in this new tool because of trading around so-called meme stocks. I'm sure many listeners will remember GameStop and that sort of meme stock trading where retail investors just decide to get into a stock for vibes, for fun, or try and drive up the price really and make a bit of money. And so Being AI shares rocketed in price at one point by about 570%. It'd fallen back a bit, was up about 335% on Monday. So basically NZX is saying, hey, if you're thinking about buying these shares, read the documents that are available on the NZX. I've certainly seen
You can go ahead.
I was just saying, I've seen a lot of chatter. We have our own sort of Wall Street Bets version, the subreddit that made GameStop so popular called Queen Street Bets. And I've seen a lot of chatter about Being AI on there from retail investors where they're saying things, you know, come on, guys, let's get in, let's pump and dump it. Look at Being AI go today. Let's get in there. So the New Zealand Shareholders Association is really warning retail investors that, you know, if you are planning on getting in on this company, the only one at risk of losing their money is you.
What's the company said in response to the caution notice? And actually, are these caution notices, are they fairly regularly issued, reasonably regularly issued?
This is the first ever time that the NZX has issued this. So this was a new tool that was brought in last year.
So for context, it kind of happened a lot previously if it was only brought in last year. Okay, so
carry
on.
That's why it's the first.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, Being AI aren't particularly happy about it because they say, you know, people just look at this and think, we've done something wrong. You know, they haven't done anything wrong. And the New Zealand Shareholders Association would agree with that. It's literally just trying to say to investors, hey, this share price is spiking. We suspect there may be some meme stock trading or something going on here. You should read the information pack documents that were on there around the listing. So Chair Sean Joyce, he's kind of frustrated with the wording of the notice. He says the notices are meant to be no fault, but he says the wording doesn't explicitly say that the company has done nothing wrong. And he says, you know, look, the jump is just because there's something new that's listed. So he's a bit frustrated and said he wants to talk to NZX about that because, yeah, he feels like there's an unfair stigma that's been attached to Being AI as a result of nothing that the company has done itself.
What do we know about the company?
Yeah, so it's an interesting company. I mean, it's obviously got AI in the title, so a lot of people are seizing on that. The background of it is it actually has a couple of businesses that it purchased a mail company called Send Global, and then there is a school in Takapuna called AGE Limited. It's also recently announced it will purchase another school, the assets of the, I think it's the Villa Education Trust, which is like a charter school. So yeah, but what it says it's going to do is it says it's going to have three divisions: consultants, labs, and ventures. Being consultants will provide guidance to businesses and individuals navigating AI. Being labs will undertake patentable research. And being ventures will invest in implementing AI transformation with a focus on the education and logistics industries.
Very interesting stuff. And anything else on your beat this week? The two interesting stories, that's for sure. Anything else presenting itself?
Well, I did do a bit of a deep dive. I always think it's interesting as to what the New Zealand Super Fund is up to. So I requested some data from the Super Fund about their investment. They do these 6 monthly updates, portfolio disclosures. It's fantastic that they are so proactive, I think, with releasing what they're investing in. And then the interesting thing for me is where the super fund has either cut its investment or increased its investment as it comes to pertains to New Zealand listed companies. So we saw some interesting moves, I think. The super fund between June last year and December boosted shareholdings in A2 Milk by about 27%, Chorus by 44%, Stride Property Group, Big Jump, and Arvida as well. It also increased its stake in property company Argosy, and also increased its slice in retailers, Hallerstein Glassons, and as well as retailer KMD, owner of the Kathmandu brand, which has been struggling a wee bit lately. In terms of A2, it had a really good result in February, and the super fund now had about 85.8 million invested in that business by the end of September. I think, interestingly, there is a New Zealand listed firm that makes the super fund's top 10 overall, that being Fisher & Paykel. It has, I think, about $352 million invested in Fisher & Paykel, and it increased its shareholding in Fisher & Paykel by about 14% in those 6 months. Overall, the fund allocates about 5% of its investment portfolio to New Zealand listed shares and had more than $2.5 billion invested in NZX companies in December. So I think it's always interesting to me anyway, what the super fund are doing, because it does have, you know, this pretty firm track record of performance in terms of returns.
Interestingly, many people use track of funds of various kinds, don't they, and follow some of the bigger international funds as an investment strategy. So, yeah, it's why not have a look at what our biggest is doing. Rebecca, thanks so much, as always. Rebecca Stevenson is Senior Journalist at Business Desk, businessdesk.co.nz.